Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Lucy, who was a virgin and martyr. She was very close, spiritually speaking, with her predecessor, St. Agnes, who likewise was a martyr for the church, and it was a very pure woman. Anyways, for the times we have been less than that ourselves, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord to make us worthy to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Why doesn't Jesus just answer the question? We're reading tonight Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 and following, where Jesus goes into the temple. This is late in the gospel, right? People have seen some miracles, many miracles. The transfiguration, I think, has already happened in this gospel story. Like, Jesus has already manifested himself in many ways. He's about to be crucified in a few chapters, die, and then rise. Why not just answer this question? He goes in the temple tonight, Jesus does, and he encounters the people and begins to teach them. As he is teaching, the chief priests and the elders, in other words, the people in charge, like in a Catholic church, it'd be like the sacristans and the deacon, right? Not the priest. Anyways, the people who are in charge go up to Jesus and say, "By what authority do you do these things?" The teaching, mostly, right? Because that's what he's doing in the moment, but probably also the miracles too. And Jesus, instead of answering the question, he says instead, "How about you answer my question first? Why not just answer?" I have a hunch. Maybe it's because they're not ready, or maybe it's because they're not quite embracing their humanity yet. On the first point, they may not be ready. The last few weeks at Corpus Christi, my parish, I've been doing a series for Advent where I go through kind of a history of the whole of understanding our salvation, right? I started 3 weeks ago with creation and how amazing and big everything is and how God made all of it, right? And on top of all of that, the most important and precious and amazing thing he made, not the sun, not tiny atoms, the most amazing thing he made was you, not everybody, but you in particular, right? Amazing. The second week, I talked about sin, and I thought that this week, that weekend, 2 weeks ago, I thought that weekend was going to really make everybody kind of like just break down or leave church, because I talked about all the darkness in the world. I talked about how many millions of people are enslaved in sex trafficking, the amount of money that's stolen from Walmart alone in a year, $3 billion. How many companies even make that much money in a year, right? That's how much theft there is from one store in 1 year. I talked about the number of people who are addicted and how many that goes up every single year, how many people are in darkness or that are, anyways. I talked about all those things, terrorist attacks globally, and I talked about all the darkness that shrouds all of our lives and how each of us likewise hears those voices that accuse us or divide us or put us down and try to keep us there. I thought that weekend, that's the weekend everybody would be like crying or mad or breaking down, like maybe good in a good way, right? You know, nothing, right? Maybe just a bad preacher, you know, who knows? The following weekend, the third weekend, yesterday, I talked about the answer, right? If creation is so good and we are the crown of it, and yet we fall so often, what's the answer to being saved? And that is a person, and it is Jesus. I did not expect the reaction I got this weekend. After every single Mass, some people in the parish came up to me crying. And I'm talking from like fourth grader up to a 70-something-year-old. I don't know how old she actually is. She probably wouldn't want me to know anyway. All ages coming up to me. Marriages that are in absolute turmoil. Kids who can't get along with their siblings, and it bothers them that they can't do it, right? People who said just simply, "You hit the nail exactly on the head of what I needed to hear today," and I said, "Amen." Somebody who was really torn up about the tornadoes that had struck the South and how those people have no one to help them, or at least not enough people to help them. And as all these people were saying all of these things as they were leaving church, I thought, this was Gaudete Sunday, right? This is the pink candle. This is the joyful one. This is the Jesus saves you one. And everybody's crying, right? Well, I really messed it up, you know? But the more I've thought about that, the more I wonder if maybe by talking about the Savior, people were finally ready to let all of that stuff go. The darkness they've been carrying, the division that can't be healed, the things that cloud their vision or their heart. I wonder if by hearing Jesus proclaimed again, maybe for the first time in a long time, if that didn't give them the permission they needed to know that they've got a Savior and that you yourself, you're not Him. And thank God for that. I wonder if there's not something in that, and one of the reasons why Jesus doesn't tell them the answer to the question tonight. Maybe the people, they're just not ready yet. I mean, Jesus wants to do everything in the timing that's going to actually reach us to break into our heart, to enlarge it. You know, I had a spiritual director over in Rome, Father Carolla. Anyways, an amazing priest. And one time he said, we were talking about how all of us guys came over to Rome and we were there for just a little bit, then we'd all leave. And we're like, doesn't that get old? Like, don't you want to keep your people for a little while? Like, you build these relationships and then we all like move on. You know, he's an American priest, you know, an exile studying or teaching over in Rome. And he says, you know, every time you all leave, my heart gets ripped open again. And I said, well, that's not good, right? And he said, but you know the thing about ripping a heart open? Is that God's just making it bigger every time. I can fit more in there. Beautiful, right? Anyways, I wonder if Jesus realizes that sometimes our hearts need to be rent, and he knows when we're ready for it. And so that's the time that he'll finally reveal his divinity fully. And maybe that's what you need right now, is to hear that message that God is God and that you're not, and smile about that. The other reason I wonder maybe that Jesus doesn't answer the question tonight is because he wants us to embrace our humanity. The amazing thing about this story is that it points out once again in the Gospels how Jesus is not just God, right? Jesus is also fully a human being. He's a person, which is, we can't even comprehend that, the hypostatic union, right, of God and man together. We can't even begin to think about what does it mean that Jesus is doing the will of God in God's time and yet Jesus is God. Seminarians, you know? Did you guys learn that yet? No? Okay, good. I wish you guys would have said yes. I'd be like, take the mic. Let's do it right now. Next semester, right? Oh, next year. Oh, thanks, Aaron. Jesus is also a human being. And sometimes I think that we're so impatient, we need to have Jesus as an example, right? I mean, Jesus knew what his end was. It was to let death get so close to him that death thought it could win so he could abolish it forever. C.S. Lewis said, Jesus landed on the earth in disguise to provoke a fight. He landed on earth in disguise to provoke a fight. And this weekend, I actually preached about this too. I said, you know, people always think it's like Jesus and Satan are like battling it out, right, in the cosmic time. They're battling things out in a big war, but they're not battling things out, right? Because Satan is a fallen angel, which means that he is a created spiritual being, and Jesus is not. In fact, whenever we want someone to defend us in battle, who do we pray to? St. Michael the Archangel, another angel. That's a peer. That's a fair fight. This weekend I said, it'd be like me trying to fight Mike Tyson, right? I would lose that fight. I would be Satan in that fight, right? But it'd be even worse than that, right? It'd be like Mike Tyson trying to fight a mouse, and the mouse is pinned to the floor. Like, that's what it'd be like. Like, that's if Jesus was fighting St. Michael, it wouldn't even be close. It wouldn't even be fair, because there's nothing about them that's equal at all. But yet Jesus comes to be one of us in our flesh. He'll inhabit a manger here soon in swaddling clothes, even though he deserves a throne. He'll be in a box that we made, and he should be on the throne of the Lamb, where he is everlasting. His hands will be pierced with nails, even though they give the bread of life. His head will be wrapped in a crown of thorns, even though he is the head over all. I wonder if one of the reasons why Jesus does not answer the question tonight is to remind us that we need to be like him. We need to be limited, weak people. Because if we finally realize that, all the pressure comes off. I quote this guy all the time, Johann Baptist Metz, this little book about poverty. He says that the fact that we are dependent is the dynamite, or he says the acme of our existence. The fact that we need God makes us powerful because we're never going to be God on our own. And I wonder if Jesus is not telling them his authority so that they can see how to be a person too. Folks, tonight, Jesus goes into a temple and people ask him a question. Would you just tell us that you're God? And Jesus says, not yet. Maybe it's because we're not ready to hear yet that we need to be people who need a God. And that God, if we ask and we wait, will reveal himself.